Okay, so this is work done in collaboration with Fabian. And also when we were doing the work on rotation, I had lots of discussions with Victor Yakout, who's also here. And he has a slightly different point of view on all of this, which I'll only be able to mention for lack of time, but since he's here, he can perhaps tell you about that afterwards. So the point is this. We know that in geophysical flows, horizontal length scales are much greater than vertical length scales. So it's tempting to try to discard things with 2D, but we also know that many times 3D mechanisms are very important. On the other hand, energy is observed to be transferred from fast small scales to slow large scale motions, a backward transfer, which also smells of 2D, but I would venture to say that in most cases, it is not as simple as a 2D inverse cascade. And so the question is, can we understand this energy transfer from small scales to large scales in a fully 3D flow? So let me remind you of sort of a hierarchy of models that's used for geophysical flows, starting with the beta plane model, which is 2D but has Rossby waves, rotating shallow water flows that have surface gravity waves, rotating flows where we have inertial waves, stratified flows which have internal gravity waves, and then rotating stratified flows which have inertial gravity waves.
If you're talking above, below point two, everything is 3D.
Everything is 3D, yeah.
Well, shallow
water is 2.5, maybe you would call it. yeah. So I guess really what you'd like to work up to is rotating stratified flows on a sphere where you have both Rossby waves and inertial gravity waves. So the point is that all these flows have dispersive waves and turbulence. And you can say a few general things about all of them, and these statements will hopefully become more clear as we go along. First of all, the dispersive wave motions tend to reduce the transfer of energy that would be achieved by the turbulence alone. However, there are resonant interactions that are not affected by the dispersion, so where the nonlinearity remains strong. And this is an important fact. In a resonant triad interaction between two fast waves and a slow mode, the coefficient of the slow mode vanishes identically. So a slow mode is defined to be one where the frequency is zero, and the point is, for resonant triad interactions, you cannot put energy into the slow modes by way of the fast modes.
Directly, right.
And so this result follows from lowest order and weak turbulence expansion, and it's been shown for all these flows that I mentioned, all these models. These are the references. I'll just point to in rotating flow, the result goes back to Greenspan. And was shown in a general geometry, and then up to rotating stratified flows. There's some nice work by Bartello and Maida and MD. Okay, so why is this important? It's important because it justifies using simplified models involving only the slow modes for relatively short timescales on the order of a few eddy turnover times, i.e. quasi-geostrophic models. And so the question that we are asking is, what happens on longer time scales? Can you have coupling between the slow large scale motions and the fast small scale motions? And can it be important for some physical phenomena? And it's clear that this coupling would appear at higher order in a weak turbulence expansion. So it would arise from things like quartet interactions. Okay, so I want to talk about 3D rotating flow and 2D stratified flow. This is a nice sort of test case, and some things are easier to visualize in 2D, so I'd like to show you some things about 2D stratified flow. I probably will not have very much time to talk about 3D stratified flow and rotating stratified flow. I will show you a few plots, hopefully. Here we're following the work of Carrion and Mattei, who did some simulations of 3D stratified flow using a two-dimensional force, and we're going to extend that to using a three-dimensional force. So I'm going to be talking about forced turbulence here. And in rotating stratified flow, there have been some simulations by Mattei et al. In 64 cubes, where they say that they observe a -5/3 scaling for the region where you have transfer of energy from small to large scale, but they show only plots for the case 2 omega equals n, which is a very special case because there are no resonant triads in this case. And what I find is that if you go away from this this case to omega equals n, then you find something quite different from -5/3. Actually, I don't really think it makes much sense to talk about scalings in these low resolution simulations in any case, but it's clearly not 5/3 when you go away from 2 omega equals n. Okay, so let's talk about the case of rotating flow first. So these are the Navier-Stokes equations in a rotating frame. In the inviscid and linear limit, we have inertial wave solutions. Here's the dispersion relation. So the frequency is plus or minus 2 omega kz over k. The s is the plus or minus. So there's a wave traveling in the direction of k and one opposite to the direction of k. If you just had the Coriolis term by itself, you would have the velocity vector counter-rotating about the rotation axis. But it has to do that always in a plane perpendicular to k, decided by incompressibility. So that's what happens. This velocity vector will rotate, counter-rotate about omega in a plane perpendicular to k. Okay, so those are the inertial waves. So you can go even further and look for time-independent solutions in this linear and viscid limit. So you just have the balance between the Coriolis term and the pressure. It's just a couple of lines to show that time-independent solutions are 2D, okay, in this linear and viscid limit. 2D meaning only in the plane perpendicular to the rotation axis, which I always take to be Z. And these are the slow modes, okay, because the frequency here is proportional to KZ over K. Right, so kz equals zero are the slow modes, and these are the 2D modes. Okay, so the slow modes are in this limit. This is a very restricted statement, has nothing to do particularly with the turbulent case. Okay, the fully nonlinear turbulent case. Okay, so let's go further and look at the full nonlinear equations and write the velocity as a superposition of these inertial waves. You can then write the equations for the amplitudes of these waves, the b's, in Fourier space. Here it is. Okay, it looks, has exactly the same form as the non-rotating Navier-Stokes equations in Fourier space, with a different CKPQ, a different coefficient, and then this extra phase factor that multiplies the nonlinear term. Okay, everybody happy with that?
So these waves are Rossby waves?
No.
Inertial.
Oh, the inertial waves, right. Okay. But they're coming from the rotation term.
Yes.
Okay.
And if you non-dimensionalize then by some nonlinear time scale, like the maximum vorticity, 1 over the maximum vorticity, then the space factor has a 1 over the Rossby number here. And it's clear that the nonlinear interactions are d-phase. On a time scale of the order of the Rossby number, unless the resonance conditions are satisfied, namely that the sum of these frequencies adds up to zero, so the phase factor is one, plus you always have the sum of the wave vectors adding up to zero. So these are the resonance conditions, and the Rossby number is the ratio of the nonlinear time scale to the rotation time scale. Okay, so if it wasn't clear before what the resonant triad interactions are, I hope it is now. This is the definition of the resonant triad interaction. Okay, so I'll repeat those statements that I made at the beginning because now they should be more clear. So we have, in general, that the dispersive wave motions reduce the energy transfer. However, for resonant triad interactions, it's not reduced. So you might expect these resonant triad interactions to play an important role. Okay? And also, you cannot transfer energy from two 3D modes to a 2D mode, that is with kz equals zero in the horizontal, a mode with wave vector in the horizontal plane. And that's just because the CKPQ, the coefficient of that slow mode, vanishes. Okay? And it's just a bit of algebra to show that. Once you know what CKPQ is, you use the resonance conditions and you show that CKPQ vanishes. Okay, so on the one hand, you see you have the Taylor-Proudman theorem, which says that slow, in this time-independent regime, linear and viscid, you have 2D solutions. And this has led a lot of researchers to look for 2D solutions in the nonlinear regime, such as Cambon and his co-workers in France. Usually they did this for, they used decaying simulations with real viscosity, and they saw trends toward two-dimensionality, but it's sort of hard to say anything definitive because very quickly things become viscous and dominated by viscous decay. And so it wasn't entirely clear that things two-dimensionalized in the nonlinear regime. The Reynolds numbers are low. On the other hand, you have this result saying that that direct resonant triad interactions cannot transfer energy into the 2D modes. Okay, so there's sort of a question there. And so we did some forced simulations with hyperviscosity. Okay, so I don't want the Reynolds number to be a parameter in my simulations anymore. So I'm using hyperviscosity and forcing at a relatively small wave number, just the white noise forcing. Okay. Here's a typical plot that you get if you do such a simulation. So this is a 128 cubed simulation here. Here's the force. It's peaked around wave number 24. What else do we need to know here? Okay, well, the two plots that you see are the solid line is the full energy spectrum, and the dashed line is the energy that's in the 2D plane. So it's the energy as a function of the horizontal wave number only, where KZ is equal to zero. Okay, so this Rossby number is 0.17. I should have said that all of my Rossby numbers in these simulations are between about 0.1 and 0.5, so I would say they're intermediate Rossby numbers, small enough that maybe weak turbulence should apply, but not the limit of Rossby number going to zero. Okay. So you can clearly see that there's transfer of energy to the large scale, and all of the energy that's sitting in the large scale is in the 2D plane, is in the horizontal plane, is in the slow modes. Okay. Down here in the small scales, you have fully 3D stuff. Okay. So clearly, even in the nonlinear regime, you get strong two-dimensionalization.
Shouldn't you actually expect the minus 5/3 in the inverse path?
Well, okay. Here, this is the next view graph. I don't know whether you should expect it or not. I put a minus 3 through this. Okay. I'm not really 100% convinced that this is actually a minus 3. I think it's steeper than minus 5/3. You would get a minus 3 just on dimensional grounds if you just assume that omega and k are the only relevant parameters.
Yeah, but you inject energy, right? So epsilon is not just a command.
No, but it's interacting with the rotation.
The point is that you could, there are more dimensional parameters now. You could form some scalings, including epsilon. It would be different than minus 3. Okay, so it's not clear that this should happen, but it looks.
Scale down.
Do I have large scale living? No. No, these are all time developing and single realization that I showed you. So no large scale living.
What you asked was that if you double the pumping rate, your energy doesn't change.
The whole level rises up.
Look at the formula, how it will rise. There's no pumping here.
I agree, there's no pumping here.
So how can it rise?
So you want to scratch this? I mean, so you're saying epsilon has to appear?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Could be looked at as a saturation spectrum. Waves break when the amplitude gets high enough, and you can make arguments of that sort that will lead to this as a saturation spectrum, analogous to those that are seen for water waves.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like universal fitted for something.
Okay.
You're injecting
energy. But I understand the point, yes.
You're injecting energy in scale epsilon. I mean, you're injecting energy at S equals 24 at a rate, constant rate epsilon.
Yes. And epsilon is 1 for
okay.
me. I take it to be, yeah.
What is your dissipation rate? Is that epsilon?
It is smaller, because clearly all of the energy is not being dissipated by the small scale.
But how much is going which way?
Okay, so that is a function of Rossby number. As you lower the Rossby number below some critical value, I should have said this too. So there's a critical value of order one. If the Rossby number is larger than this critical value, which is of order one, then you don't have any transfer from small to large scales. It's all dissipated, okay? And then you start decreasing the Rossby number below this critical value, and more energy is transferred to large scales. So the energy dissipation rate depends on the Rossby number.
And what's the rate of increase of energy? I mean, there's no dissipation mechanism at the large scale.
That's right. So you can only do this, you can only run these simulations.
What is saturated?
What is sure? I mean,
that,
so.
And what Chuck just said then would make sense, that what you've developed is a saturation spectrum.
Okay, fine.
So that's why epsilon doesn't come into it, possibly.
Yeah, and you don't agree? It's possible. I mean, in fact, you actually see the slope increasing, I would say, a little bit. Towards the end of the simulation,
right.
So it's sort of this is sort of asymptotic in a sense, yeah.
Unfortunately, the entropy cascade rate in the real atmosphere turns out to be about one per day, and which is comparable to the omega interventions, which is essentially one per day.
What are you implying?
It's hard to separate an argument based on entropy cascade rate in the real atmosphere. On one hand.
Are you saying to explain this -3 in the atmosphere?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not trying to do that.
No, all right.
Yeah. No, yeah, okay. Yeah.
The -3 is observed.
That's right, it is. But I'm not necessarily trying to explain that.
And what about small scale? So it seems that we have another.
Yeah. Okay. So, there isn't really enough range. I did look at it. I didn't bring the plots with me just for fun. I did, I put lines through them and plotted compensated spectra in the small scale too. For Rossby numbers below critical but not too far below critical, things seem to scale as -5/3. But then when you go lower in Rossby number, it becomes a -2 as the best I can fit. Again, for moderate, I didn't go very much below 0.1 for Rossby number. So something else may happen, and it's just a fit for, let's say, 10 wave numbers or something.
I understand you correctly that you do actually get a stationary spectrum at late times?
No, I stopped the simulation.
Okay.
Because.
She starts getting steeper.
Yes.
Yeah, but to check this statement about dependence on the flux, you may introduce this artificial.
That's not really the spectra. It wasn't really my question to begin with, the scaling of the spectrum. So I didn't pursue it that much. It's really the fact that you get transfer at all to the large scales, and then the fact that it's in this the 2D plane. It's all in the slow modes. Okay. So that was the original thought. Okay. So let me just show you a picture in real space. So this is 3 Z planes. Lying on top of each other at these locations, and you have cyclonic vortices here, and clearly things are fairly 2D. Okay, because this is 3 Z planes on top of each other. Okay. So we have to explain this nonlinear two-dimensionalization. We know that it can't come from direct resonant triad interactions. So here are some possible higher order mechanisms for transfer of energy into the slow 2D mode. The ones I wrote down here are all based on resonant triads. Okay, this is not the only thing you can do. You could have transfer from purely non-resonant quartets, for example, and that's what Victor's theory was based on. Okay, but these are some here are some that are actually based on resonant triads. Okay, the first is, of course, you could just relax, you should relax the resonance condition in practice to be order Rossby. And that gives you a coefficient, which is non-zero but small, of the order Rossby. This one, actually, we have some nice evidence that this is playing a role, and it's easiest to see in the case of 2D stratified, so I'll show you some plots in 2D stratified. And Fabian showed a while back that you can get transfer of energy towards the horizontal plane with resonant triad interactions, not exactly into the horizontal plane, but once you have transfer almost in the 2D plane, then these nearly 2D modes can transfer energy into exactly 2D modes, okay? And we have some evidence that this may be playing a role. And then Newell defined some resonant quartet interactions built upon resonant triads, and you can find the analogous things for rotating flow, and these also may be playing a role. So those are some possibilities, and I'll show you some evidence for the second one. Okay. So now I would like to go on to the case of 2D stratified flow. I'm going to look at the 2D. Is it okay? Okay. So it's 2D flow in the Boussinesq approximation. I won't show equations unless somebody really wants to see them. Okay. Again, we have an anisotropic dispersion relation. Here it is, plus or minus n kx over k. N is the Brunt-Weissel frequency. B is the stratification parameter, which is positive for stable stratification. And now I have the Froude number is the relevant non-dimensional parameter. And large Froude numbers means weak stratification, small Froude numbers means strong stratification. Again, you can look at look for steady solutions in the linear and viscid limit. It basically follows right from the dispersion relation. If you have the wave frequency much, much smaller than the Brunt-Weissel frequency, then this implies that kx is much, much smaller than kz. So in this limit, you have horizontal layering. Okay? And then also, you can do the weakly nonlinear analysis, which will show you this decoupling between the fast and slow modes for resonant triad interactions. And we want to ask what happens on longer timescales. So the decoupling would be for timescales of the order of 1 over the Froude number, and we're asking about longer timescales. Okay, so here's a plot of kinetic energy versus time for a fixed resolution. It's 512 squared. The forcing wave number is 96. The energy input rate is again 1. And I'm varying on the spot the Froude number starting from infinity, which is no stratification. So here we have just 2D isotropic flow. In this case, you get growth of the kinetic energy in time, which is linear. This is the 2D inverse cascade. Okay. So now you turn down the Froude number, and you have a gradual reduction of the growth of the kinetic energy. So somehow the 2D to 2D transfer is being turned off as you increase the stratification until eventually when you get to Froude number about 1, it's completely turned off. You get no transfer of energy to the large scales. Okay? And then you can continue increasing the stratification and find that again you get transfer of energy to the large scales, but now it's a 2D to 1D transfer. Okay? And so this is the region that I'm most interested in. Below critical, and it makes sense, of course, that the critical value should be 1, where stratification and nonlinear effects are comparable. So here's just a sketch of what I'm doing in the simulation. I'm putting energy in at some wave number kf in a circle, and for the region of Froude number less than 1, we'll see energy pile up on the kx equals 0 axis. So I'll just show one spectrum, and then I'll show you the real space plot. So here I have two energy spectra plotted. One is the full energy spectrum, and then the energy of kx equals 0 kz. You see that they lie right on top of each other for large scales, so everything is 1D, and at small scales, things are still 2D. The real space picture looks like layers. Okay. So in the nonlinear regime, we still have strong layering. And now I want to show you this mechanism, which is the analogous to the one I discussed in rotation, where you have transfer to nearly 1D modes by the direct resonant triad interactions, and then followed by transfer from nearly 1D modes into exactly 1D modes. To do this, I force a single K, okay, happens to be this one, 8040. You can ask, what are all the P's and Q's that are resonant with this K? That gives you a curve which we call the resonant traces. And then you can ask, well, does the energy lie near those, away from those, where does it lie? Okay. So here's a plot of that. So this is an early time in a simulation where I'm forcing that single mode. The lines are the resonant traces. And you can see that for early times, clearly you do have the energy, these are contours of energy. You do have the energy sort of piling up along these resonant traces. And then later in time, you look a little later in time, and things are no longer everywhere. It's just piled up on the JX equals zero axis. Okay, so that's some evidence that there's this two-step process which involves the resonant triads. I will just now show one plot from the case of rotating stratified, just to make a couple of points. Okay, so this is a 128 cube simulation where the rotation rate is 5, the n is 40. Okay, so the relevant thing you want to look at is 2 omega over n. So 2 omega over n here is 1/4. Okay, so we're not anywhere near the case 2 omega equals n where there are no resonant triads. I wanted to stay away from that. The first thing you see, so this is the top curve here is the full energy spectrum. The first thing you see is that there is energy transfer to large scales. I wanted to make this point because there are a lot of experts in the field who didn't think that in the case of rotating stratified flow that you would get energy transfer from small to large scales. Okay, you clearly do. Second thing is to show that there really is no -5/3 here. I don't really think it makes sense to put lines through these spectra, but I did some best fits for different regions just for the fun of it, and here you get -1.334, and here you get, if you try to do it down here, you get -0.31, and it doesn't really make too much sense. But anyway, I don't believe it's a -5/3. You can also see, so the crosses here are the energy in the horizontal plane, and the dashes are the energy in the KZ equals zero. So this corresponds to layering, and this corresponds to some sort of two-dimensionalization. You can see that really layering is not significant anymore for this ratio equal 1/4. Perhaps some sort of two-dimensionalization is going on here. What you really want to do, of course, is define the zero modes for this flow and see if energy is all in the zero modes here. It's much more complicated to do this because there are zero modes for every wave vector in rotating stratified flow, but clearly that's what we need to do to see if this whole scenario is kind of universal. I believe it is, but it has to be done. And so I'll just put up a conclusion slide here. So strong two-dimensionalization in rotation and one-dimensionalization in stratification, which is corresponds to population with zero modes. There is transfer to large scales in rotating stratified flow. You need to show that it's the zero modes that are dominating in rotating stratified flow. And then some questions here. We need to further figure out what role the resonant triads are playing, if any. And you can ask, well, what do we do about weak turbulence theory, which probably cannot capture any of these effects? And then what about large eddy simulation models, which I would venture to say at this point probably cannot capture any of these effects either. Thank you.
The only query I have is, so stratification and rotation, we are not doing the same thing, we are doing different things. You got a two translation in the case of rotation and...
That's right.
So they're not the same thing.
No, but I mean, they just differ by a rotation if you want.
Yeah.
The dispersion relation, you know, when you have a sign, you have
to... Yeah.
What about the intermittent in all those inverse case which you have? Do you have any or no intermittent?
Well, I mean, I can say that there are structures here. Right, so I'm not quite sure how you want to think about it. I didn't measure them. I can easily do it. I would say that there probably is, but I don't have measurements.
Probably.
Yes. Would you agree?
How would I know? Yeah.
Well, there are structures, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think you have to keep in mind, these are only 128 cubic calculations, and she's splitting her spectrum into two halves, you know, so there's not much you can do with it.
Another question, I'm not quite sure I understand why I was saying that the weak turbulence kind of explain all this.
Well, I had a discussion with Wally about this yesterday. At some point, you end up introducing time scales, which are sort of model time scales. And you probably can't get this kind of effect unless you go to all orders. Maybe you can, but you know, if you truncate, these coherent structures are probably, you have to sum to all orders.
Yeah, but it's not clear whether the roles of coherent structures on the exponent or on the scaling sugar.
Well, it's clearly large, right? I mean, if you don't have the structures, why would you have the same spectrum? Or why would you care, anyway? I mean, the same spectrum, you can have the same spectrum for two different flows, and what does it mean? And you want to capture the structures. The spectra, I don't think, is really...
So your point is
the structure,
right? I think that's the important issue. Your last comment about LES, that's based on the fact that LES are basically dissipated, so we don't expect that you can predict these effects, yes? So that would suggest that some non-dissipative models need to be developed. And the second question is if I think that it's possible to develop such models. The question is the energy transfer from small to large scale, could you estimate how local or non-local it is, where the energy from small scales is going actually directly to very large scale, so it goes through some sort of still cascade process? Because that implies different things for terminals.
Yeah, it does. I'll just put up one thought for the case of 3D stratification where you don't get any scaling at all. I don't know if this will help or not. I'm not sure I can really answer your question, but the 3D stratified, it looks like there's really some kind of resonance going on. Okay, so where's my post? Yeah, so here's my force, and you're getting pileup of energy in these clearly, you know, two distinct wave numbers. This is 3D stratified. Okay? So it looks to me like it's not necessarily a local process, at least for this case. I can't say too much, but yeah. And the thing about LES is, so you have this very complicated thing, right? You have the amount of energy that's transferred to large scale is a function of the non-dimensional parameter, either the Rossby number or the Prim number or both. It's a very complicated thing, and it seems to me that at this point, no existing LES.
But what is wrong with that?
Well, okay.
You don't need LES for inverse cascade. Just cut all the... What is the perfect LES for this last?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's only if you want to resolve even less scales than I'm doing here, right?
But in the LES, you don't resolve them. That's the trick. And the trick is you put the force on your mesh side and see what happens on large scale.
Right. No, but I mean, in the ocean, in the atmosphere, I guess the question is, where is the real forcing, and can you resolve below that?
No, just hold the forcing. The flux is constant, so nothing depends on where you put the forcing.
Well, the flux is not necessarily constant in this range.
Having to be pushed to beyond all orders is somehow the statement that the transfer is dominated by many, many successive triads.
Probably.
Rather than just sort of a two-step process, which you described at some point where you first dump near and then zero. But somehow you can imagine that there's more phase space for these multiple spare trial. Is that the...
Yeah, I mean, do you want to comment, Willie?
Oh,
yeah,
that's...
So, is that the case for
mobilization
group?
But I think the quotas, the face space of four-way interaction is much bigger. But what does it show is if the omega in the spectrum is constant, plus minus one, So three waves cannot lead to the resonance. Absolutely not. So only a limited number of waves can satisfy. So the fourth order interaction is much more, from this point of view, is much more efficient. And moreover, the fourth order interaction automatically immediately leads to the inverse cascade because of the wave cancellation. That's what we show.
So yeah, but you would have to show, right, that you get these vortices or these layers in some sort of a model where you leave out whatever, right? You just have a subset of interactions, right?
But the very fact of inverse cascade in this system comes very nicely simply from the four wave interactions.
So it's indeed the case of two conservation logs, right? Approximately.
Definitely. Absolutely right. But and the remarkable thing here is that because of the distortion relation is basically constant, it's scale independent, the spectrum corresponding to the conserved waves and the spectrum corresponding to energy flux are identical because omega of k is constant.
But does the dynamics show a preference for the three-wave interactions or four-wave interactions? Both are admissible, you mean? Both are admissible?
Yes. It's just that, I mean...
So you can find them.
Well, you know, it's a question, I mean, we have triads, right, in our stuff.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
can think of a quartet as two successive triads. Right? Okay.
Because, you know, some dispersion relations don't allow either 3D, I mean...
Yeah, I understand. No, yeah. There are definitely resonant triads, if that's what you're asking.
Oh, yeah.
To
okay. But the
could the structural equation maybe be explained by the Yarko effect? The Yarko effect is something like a...
Item on the menu is fashion food
products.